9 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Thanks for joining us today. So, I have time to get into our GJ Golf Masters contest.
We're running out of names, though.
Yeah, the big names off the board a long time ago. The Dustin Johnsons, the Phil Mickelsons, the Brooks Koepkas, all gone. So, send us a name.
Yeah. The CT Pans, the Daniel Bergers, Jason Kokraks, they're all off the board, too.
So you're really going to have to really dig deep.
Yeah.
But we'll take names until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Ben Hogan's still available.
Yes, Ben Hogan is still out there. I believe
Jose Maria Olazabal.
He is
still available.
I believe... Seve Ballesteros?
Seve is available.
Seve is still available, yep. So tongue-in-cheek on all those. But you have a chance to win a Callaway Epic Driver from our good friends at GJ Golf. So
some of those guys have as good a chance of winning as some of the other guys that are picked.
Also today, we have our Qdoba question of the day, and your chance to win Qdoba, and all you have to do is give us your thoughts about the All-Star Game coming to Colorado again. Still haven't seen the official announcement from Major League Baseball
yet. I haven't seen anything official
yet. That they're moving the All-Star Game to Coors Field. Got some thoughts on that today. Will you go to the game coming up July 13th at Coors Field? But once again, multiple media outlets are saying that Colorado will get the All-Star Game. Major League Baseball making the decision to move it from Atlanta. So text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. All right, it's Mav Day. We talked to Colorado Mesa coaches and players, and joining us right now from the Colorado Mesa softball team, Lauren Wedman joins us. Lauren, I appreciate the time. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on today. We appreciate it. For your softball team, boy, guys have been playing great again this season. You're coming off the series sweep over New Mexico Highlands. You ended up with 26 hits to sweep a couple of Mercy Rule victories over the Highlands Cowgirls. Your team is off to a sensational start this season.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk about that Highland series a little bit, because I know the Regis series, you lost your first, you failed to sweep your first series. You had your first loss in conference play a while back, and boy, your team has really rebounded ever since losing that one game to Regis.
Yeah, so definitely the focus this weekend was just coming back, not letting that loss affect us, and just making sure we play our ball. In one of the games, we kind of lost that, but then the other three, we really focused on just playing our ball and making sure we got four more wins this weekend.
And against Highlands, you had an outstanding weekend. You went 4-for-4, 3-run home run in the first game, 6-for-7 of the walk, 5 runs scored, and 5 RBIs through the 2 games of that doubleheader. You personally had a big offensive weekend.
Thank you very much.
What was the key for you that led to having such an outstanding weekend at the plate?
I think it's just staying calm for me. Last weekend against Regis on the first day, I didn't do too hot. I was just getting in my head and overthinking everything. So just kind of staying calm and believing in, what I've been taught, the adjustments I've been making, and the people around me, that they'll pick me up and the pressure's not all on me, because the people hitting around me are all amazing too. So just knowing that I just need to worry about my job, not put pressure on, and just do what I know I can do.
Joining us in the program today, Colorado Mesa outfielder Lauren Wedman, hails from Tucson, Arizona, and 2019 Honorable Mention All-RMAC, 2020 RMAC All-Academic Honor Roll as well. And for you and your teammates, Lauren, like so many college athletes last year, 2020 was rough. Didn't get to play the season, and it has to feel really good to be out there back on the field at Bergman, getting the chance to play here in 2021.
It does. It feels amazing. And the group of girls that we have this year, it just is. It's so much fun. If people are ever at games, they hear us barking. I mean, we really do have so much fun in the dugout, whether people are playing or not. We make big things out of little things, and we all just have so much fun out there, kind of making up for lost time.
And last year was really tough for you, because you were off to a great start. You were leading the team, ranked third in the RMAC with a .458 batting average. So you led your team in batting average. You ended the season on a 10-game hitting streak. You had reached base safely in each of the last 16 games. So, I mean, you had a sensational season going in 2020 that unfortunately got cut short.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was. It was a little bit upsetting, more so upsetting that I couldn't play with my team anymore. But, yeah, I think I just wanted to make sure that I kind of tried to pick up where I left off last year and worked hard so that I could be at that same level, because that was the longest time I had ever gone without playing softball since I started playing. So just making sure that I did what I needed to do to be able to start off where I left off, or hopefully, I mean, even better.
Lauren Wedman of the Colorado Mesa softball team joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Like a lot of athletes, you're kind of left to your own devices, right, to keep, you know, keep your swing sharp and work on some of those things during the down period last year. Some things, Lauren, that you focused on. I know your mom, Lisa, was your coach for the Firecrackers, your summer softball team, when you were younger, playing, club softball. What did she do to help you, and what did you do for yourself in regard to working on some things to keep yourself sharp during the COVID quarantine period that everybody went through?
Yeah, so a lot of the fields in Tucson were closed, and actually they're just now opening up. So I wasn't able to go to a field, so hitting was definitely what was worked on, and just overall fitness. I would run, work off a tee, and then I'm very lucky that my mom coached me. She can actually pitch, so we would go to batting cages and she would pitch to me just to keep that sharp and, you know, work on whatever aspects I could since fields weren't open. So it's really hard to work on balls in the outfield.
Colorado Mesa sophomore outfielder Lauren Wedman joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. The Mavericks number 18 team in the nation right now in D2 softball, coming off that sweep of New Mexico Highlands. And coming up this weekend, you have Black Hills State. You have to go to Spearfish. Talk about that. That's always a long trip to go up to Spearfish to take on Black Hills State.
Yeah, we have been talking about how long that bus ride is going to be. I think the focus is just going to be kind of the same as this weekend, just playing our ball. That's definitely what we need to remember. You know, when there's been three times this year when we've kind of had run rule leads and lost them because we get, I think, maybe a little complacent in those leads. So just continuing to play our ball and dominate and just staying up and, you know, focusing on each game, each inning, each pitch. Eddie, who's out here helping us, always says never take a pitch off. So just kind of making sure we don't take a pitch off and just playing how we know we can play.
I'm assuming that's Eddie Mort, correct?
Yes, it is.
Old high school classmate of mine, Eddie
oh,
Mort,
really?
Out at Fruit of Monument, long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Couple of old geezers from Fruit of Monument, way back in the day. We have Lauren Wedman from the CMU softball team with us today on the Team Sports Network. Mavericks right now, as I mentioned, nationally ranked 19-1 in on the season, off to a sensational start. Now, Lauren, I always like to ask players like yourself that come from Tucson, how did you find out about Colorado Mesa? What's the Lauren Wedman story in ending up here in Grand Junction at CMU?
I was playing at a tournament in Phoenix. And Coach Garcia, when he still coached here, was actually coming out to watch the pitcher from the other team. And back then I pitched, and I pitched the game that he was watching, and I actually hit the home run to win the game 1-0. So he contacted my coach, who happened to be my mom at the time. I came out on a visit, and then I told my mom, I was like, even if I don't play softball here, I love it here. And I ended up getting offered that day, and I was a little skeptical to leave home. Grand Junction is very different from Tucson, definitely a lot colder, which I wasn't used to at all. But, yeah, I mean, it was definitely just out of the blue, kind of. I didn't know about it here, but I love it here.
Now, it says in your bio that you're majoring in pre-medicine. You'd like to be a pediatrician. Is that still kind of the career path for you?
I've actually changed it. I think I'm more PT. Both of my parents are physical therapists, and they both love their job, and just seeing how much they love their job and how good they are at it and just helping people. So I think that's kind of more of the route that I'm wanting to go.
Hey, still keeping in the medical field, but yeah, switching to the sports medicine aspect of it. CMU's Lauren Wedman joining us on the program today. It also says in your bio that your favorite location is New York. Why New York? What's so special about New York for you?
I love big cities and lights. I went on a trip in eighth grade, and just being in that environment, just the lights in the city. But I definitely do love, I think that maybe has changed a little bit in the last 3 years. I definitely love kind of the country, being out just around no one or just a few people, and just kind of having time out in nature.
Well, Lauren, wherever you are, big city, out in the country, I know you'll find your niche, right? You'll find your place, your comfort zone down the road.
Yeah.
Well, Lauren, I appreciate the time. Best of luck to you and the Maverick softball team at Black Hills State this weekend. Thank you for coming on the program, and thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, Lauren Wedman with the CMU softball team mentioned that they are 19-1 on the season. Boy, Coach Kosel's got another really, really good team over at CMU. Mentioned they lead the conference with that 19-1 record. Colorado Christian, they're at 14-1 right now. The Mavericks at 19-1, it's all been all conference games. I mean, that's a pretty good lead right now over mm-hmm. Colorado Christian. Metro State, they're in third place at 12-4 right now. But then you also have Mines at 16-8. So they'll take the RPI, and that'll help adjust some of those numbers as well going forward with the RMAC softball season. But a great start for the Colorado Mesa softball team right now, nationally ranked at currently number 19 in the nation. And we'll talk with the man who's the coach of the number one team in D2 mm-hmm. baseball. Chris Hanks will join us coming up in just a few minutes. All right, text or call the show, 970-242-1340. Also, Brad Gamble will join us coming up later on, coach of the Colorado Mesa track and field team. So we'll have that coming up in just a little bit. All right. Going from Robert, it's not Colorado's problem, fault for MLB's action. The only thing to be sad about is how badly Georgia was treated. Okay, we're not going to get into the why Major League Baseball's doing it. And were we saying that Colorado's at fault here? Did we say that? Did we say the state's at fault for getting the All-Star game? No, what we're saying is, no. I wish the Rockies organization would have got it under different conditions. That they had made the bid. Major League Baseball accepted the bid, and they get it mm-hmm. for those reasons. I wish it was in a year that didn't have COVID, where there's the chance that fewer folks will be able to go to the ballpark and watch the All-Star game. I think those are valid things to talk about. This it's great that the state's getting. I'm glad Rob Manfred has realized Colorado and Coors Field is a wonderful place to host the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he recognizes that. I wish the conditions were different.
And if you're sending it, well, you know, the only thing to feel bad about is how Georgia was treated. Well, then you don't like the circumstances either. You're just on a different area of the spectrum of not liking the circumstances. So essentially, when it comes down to it, we agree. But for some reason, people feel we disagree because, again, we're not reaching other people's desired levels of happiness for a game that we didn't earn and we maybe don't deserve because of the product.
And look, and I feel bad for the fans of the Braves and of Major League Baseball in Georgia. This has nothing to do with what the law changes are in regard to mm-hmm. voting in the state. It has nothing to do with that. That's just me as a fellow baseball fan feeling bad that they don't get the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Because the fans of the Braves weren't the reason why this decision was made. And you can be behind what Rob Manfred's doing in Major League Baseball and the reason why. You can be against it. Okay, either way, that's your call.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you wish that the Rockies were getting this game under different conditions? But the good thing is they're going to get it, right? I guess that's what everybody wants us to just... We just need to focus on that's the only thing that matters here. I don't think that's a fair way to look at this thing.
And I hate to say it, but we're not the only ones talking about this. People are going to bring up the All-Star game moving to Colorado when it's official, and they're going to talk about why. So, I mean, yeah, you could have this crusade on your local show, but that's not going to stop it. It's part of the conversation. And the fact that we may not be thrilled with how they got it, how Denver and Coors Field and the Montforts, how they got the All-Star game, it's coming here anyway. And if you're not thrilled with how we don't like how they got it, then okay. You can take comfort in that, I guess.
I mean, there's a point where we're not cheerleaders here. right?
Yeah.
And, you know, in Sonny's text, he, you know, wishes, assuming he's mentioning Katie, and Katie does a fantastic job. We love Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Does a great job on the show. Fine colleague.
She is positive about a lot of all the Colorado sports. She's super positive, but she's also realistic just like we are.
Yeah, I'm just not going to sit here. I can't assume that Katie would just come on here and go, hey, you know, like, this is great. There's no negatives to this. Yeah, there are some negatives to it.
The light shone on the Rockies as a franchise. That's a negative.
Well, I mean, with Peter Gammons saying what he said in his tweet. And I haven't even really banged on that at all. It's been more about the reason why, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the timing of it with COVID.
There's a tweet here that Drew Kreisman worked for some of the blogs on the Front Range. He retweeted.
From Junction originally?
Yes. And this is from Rachel Luba on Twitter. Big fan of Coors Field in Denver as a city, but I don't like the idea of rewarding a team that is making no effort to be competitive or win with getting to host the All-Star game. We haven't even touched really on that.
No, we've kind of left that alone. It's just been the other things of Coors Field, of Colorado being Plan B, mm-hmm. after the decision was made by Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball to pull the game out of Atlanta. And
the Rockies don't deserve this game. Not the way that's been the last 3 years.
It makes it tough, right, to feel good about the franchise getting it at this point in time.
Yeah, and Bronco Sarge pretty much echoes the same question I had, is by the All-Star game, they may have traded their only All-Star.
Exactly.
And I mean, they will all be back. DJ's going to be an All-Star. Nolan's going to be an All-Star.
They're all going to be wearing different unis.
Yeah. If he starts as a Rocky, he's definitely going to start as a Cardinal. They're the ballot box stuffing pros. Both sides of Missouri, Kansas City and St. Louis. There's going to be three All-Stars that played for the Rockies 3 years ago. Maybe four. David Dahl.
Maybe David Dahl's in. Yeah. Yeah, David Dahl ends up being an All-Star for the Rangers.
There could be four. All former
Rockies. And what are the optics going to be if Trevor Story gets traded before the All-Star game?
Do you think Jeff Reidish goes to the game if that happens?
No. No.
Oh, no.
No.
There's no way he can show his face around that yard.
And that's another looming thing about Coors Field and the Rockies getting the All-Star game is, what if that does happen?
Yeah. Last star out of the building. Turn off the lights when you leave.
No kidding. Bronco Sarge, when I get to his text about Ryan Day and the comments about Justin Fields,
mm-hmm.
let's actually go back up. We got one from some earlier ones. You nailed it, Jim. The Broncos don't feel all these sad feelings about Phil. They understand that there are soft-minded fans that need all the good vibes, goodbyes. Already tired of Teddy B to Denver talk. Dude never thrown more than 15 touchdowns in a season, locked through 16 and 12 games last year. It'd be slightly less than a lateral move. Say no to Teddy. We haven't even broke down the Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock numbers.
It's slightly more than a lateral move because Teddy Bridgewater did not lead the league in interceptions last year.
Yes.
There is that.
There is that. Of course, Ryan Day would say Fields is great and amazing. He's saying that the criticism about his work ethic is unfounded. That's what I don't. Did he say he's great and amazing? I think he just said,
right.
Look, the kid is getting a bad rap, and I know what his work ethic is because I saw it every day. I'm not saying he doesn't put the work in, but there's smoke, there's fire. I'd be a little hesitant to take a guy with work ethic questions, i.e., Paxton Lynch.
Let's pump the brakes.
I don't think Justin
on the
Fields
hold comparing Justin Fields
to Paxton Lynch,
two-time college football playoff berth earner, to Paxton Lynch, one-season starter at Memphis.
I'm right there with you on that.
You may not like Justin Fields. You may think that he has a work ethic a la, you know, the big chubby Sorensen kid at Kentucky. Let's hop off that train that, oh, he's in line with Paxton Lynch. That's a slight overreaction.
Not the same guy.
Slight.
No. Not even we're close to the same guy. And I'd like to know who Dan Orlovsky talked to. Who's the one saying all these things about Fields that, you know, last guy to arrive, first guy to leave, that was how he was. Even Dan Orlovsky's saying now, well, maybe I needed to clarify that more. I needed
he's walking
to lay that out a little better than what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And he's even backing off on that.
And Dan Orlovsky, if he feels he's right, he'll double down. If you watch any of the shows, he's
and on. I'm not an Orlovsky fan.
I go back and forth. He goes a long way.
He's a hot take guy.
Yeah. This is
the case of being a hot take guy.
He's like hot sauce. A little can cover and make things better. A lot makes a lot worse.
He's still the guy that stepped out of the back of the end zone.
He ran out of the back of the end zone.
9:21.
Nobody's questioning his work ethic.
Just his...
his spatial awareness.
Exactly. Just his football mindset. All right, 9:21. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Chris Hanks, coach of the number one team in the nation, Colorado Mesa baseball team. He'll join us next on the Jim Davis Show.
I take great pride in proudly presenting... it's Mavs Day on the Jim Davis Show.
Welcome back, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy. Still time to text in your golfer for our GJ Golf Masters Contest. Your chance to win a Callaway Epic driver from GJ Golf. And once again, if a name has already been selected, it's gone. It's off the table. And so now you're kind of rummaging through the bottom of the barrel to find a golfer if you have not already sent a name in to us. You can get that to us on the text line, 970-242-1340. All right, joining us right now, he is the head coach of the number one team in Division II baseball. Colorado Mesa coach Chris Hanks joins us in the program. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. Not as well as you. Team is the number one team in the nation. I know you guys don't put a ton of stock in that on April 6th of the baseball season, but a nice position to be in now, the number one team, as Tampa slips to the number two spot.
Yeah, if you ask me in June, if after the last poll we're number one, I'll be really happy.
Exactly. Nice right now. It's okay. It's fine. But you'd rather that ranking be later than it is right now. Your team coming off that Tuesday doubleheader sweep at Alamosa, taking down Adams State, winning both games rather easily, 26-8, and then taking the second game. They held you to 12 runs, Chris. So let's give them, I'm tongue in cheek. You guys really have dominated Adams State so far this season and continued that on a very windy day last Tuesday down in Alamosa.
Yeah, I think we did to them what we needed to and what we were supposed to. I think they're a better team than they've shown against us, but we've certainly had our way with them. I'm glad those are biased and we get on with our season. And now we get into the next couple weeks, some real tough contests.
And that certainly begins with Metro State this weekend. We'll talk more about the Roadrunners in just a moment. But I do want to go back to the doubleheader sweep against Adams State. Johnny Carr, a name we haven't mentioned a lot this season, had a good day. He went 3-for-4, 3 runs scored. He knocked in a couple of runs, had a couple of doubles and a sacrifice bunt as well. So Johnny had a good offensive day against the Grizzlies last Tuesday.
Yeah, Johnny's overall gotten off to a slow start this year. Very similar to 2019. You know, he ended up being our everyday left fielder clear to the end. But in that particular year, he started off a little bit slow as well. So I don't know whether it's the cold weather or what, but it was good to see Johnny step up and get some hits and really contribute.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa baseball team, number one team in the collegiate newspaper standings as far as the poll goes, leapfrogging over Tampa for the number one spot. Mavericks also the top team in the RMAC standings right now. And just looking at some of the numbers, Hayden McGeary, we've talked about him quite a bit this season, Chris. Hayden McGeary right now, the top player in terms of hitting in the conference. Spencer Bramwell's fifth in the conference right now. Those two guys have really done a sensational job leading your bats.
Yeah, Hayden's been solid all year. Spencer's been a force as well. But you know, hitting in that three hole, McGeary is a big obstacle for teams to get through. And he's got good hitters on either side of him as well.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa baseball team with us. Mavericks, number one team in the nation, 18-2 right now. And you referenced now, you know, with Adam State in your rearview mirror, the challenge gets more difficult because you have Metro State coming in, starting the first game of that series on Friday night. They're 17-3, 21-3 overall. Your team's on a seven-game winning streak. They've won their last couple of games, but Metro State comes in pitching it very well and also a pretty good offensive team.
Yeah, you know, they, you know, when you look at the numbers, they're very similar to us. You know, we've done quite a bit of scouting on them. They're, you know, they're a team that has some muscle with the bats. They can hit the long ball. They have good hitters. They pitch it very well. And so, you know, we really expect, you know, a good series, and it would be a good series for people to come out and watch. So they're a good club. They're dangerous.
Mentioned that from a pitching standpoint, they lead the conference right now in ERA. And so, like you said, it's a team that, you know, like I said, offensively, they've got some pop, no doubt about it, but their pitching has really been the key to their early success.
Yeah, it has. You know, I think that's overall probably the strength of their team. But as I mentioned, they swing it well, too. We'll be interested to see. You know, they've really, for the most part, only played on the artificial surface all year. Like some of the teams in our league. And, you know, so we always are interested to see what that transition will be for them coming to a natural field.
Well, they've got a couple of guys right now that are off to really good starts on the bump. Jimmy Dobrash, he's currently 5-0 as a 2.61 ERA. Cade Crater is 4-0, 2.57 ERA. Those are the two guys that really kind of led the way on the bump early on this season.
Yeah, and Crater 2 weeks ago threw a perfect game against CSU Pueblo, a nine-inning perfect game. He didn't fare as well last weekend, but he still kept him in the game. And, you know, then there's a kid they've been pitching in the one slot, Logan Sewell, a left-handed pitcher who was a kid that out of high school played 2 years of minor league baseball, got released by the Diamondbacks, and then, you know, with there's a Division II rule where if you've never started any school, you can come back and play a little bit in college. And so he's in his senior year now, but then Dorbash has been pitching their game four for him. They have good staff.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa baseball team with us on the Team Sports Network. You mentioned their offense, and like you said, you can't go to sleep on the Roadrunners' bats. They're hitting .351 as a team right now. Chase Anderson off to a really good start for them. He's second in home runs with six bombs on the season, hitting .453. Jake Williams is hitting .373. He's got seven home runs. He's knocked in 23 runs. You've got also Bill Ralston, who is their RBI leader with 31 RBIs. Like you said, really good bats to go up to complement their really good pitching.
Yeah, you know, they'll be a tough lineup to get through. It'll be a challenging lineup for our pitching staff, but I think our kids should be up to the task. It'll be good to see, you know, them have to battle against some higher-level hitters. And, you know, if we pitch it well, I think we'll be fine. If we don't, then we'll be in for a struggle.
Chris Hanks, head coach of the Colorado Mesa baseball team, number one team in the nation, joining us on the program. And we can talk about their pitching. You look at some of the individual numbers. Cade Crater for them is third right now in ERA. But you look at your guy, Ryan Day, who's had just such a fantastic start to the season. Ryan's pitching really well for you right now, and I know that you hope that that Ryan has another good weekend of the bump. Likewise for Andrew Morris to get you started, as has been the case on Fridays.
Yeah, you know, Ryan's been solid for us. He truly pitches, you know, and when he's on the edges of the plate and mixing in his breaking ball, you know, he's very difficult to deal with, and he's a super, super competitor.
All right, we'll have coverage of the Friday night game. Mavericks taking on Metro State, pregame at 5:45. On the Team CMU Sports Network. Chris, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you guys Friday night.
All right, take care. Chris Hanks, coach of the Maverick baseball team, number one team in the nation. It's a nice place to be. Though Chris wishes it was later in the season.
Right.
As the number one team in the nation.
I give him about two and a half months.
Yeah. Perfect time then.
Yeah.
Be the number one team in the nation. All right, 9:33. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. And look, for just one final thing. We don't want to be negative. I don't want to be negative. But if we don't address the elephant in the room about Colorado getting the All-Star game, then we're not doing our job on this program. We're not. I don't like to be negative. But I also, it's hard for me just to be a cheerleader for 3 hours for something that, that has some baggage attached to it. And the reason why the Rockies are getting this game. And it has nothing to do with whether about pro voting rights changes in Georgia against them. Has nothing to do with that. It's the circumstances which have occurred that have presented the Rockies with this opportunity. And give Colorado credit for saying, hey, we're ready to go. We're ready to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to get on the whole thing about, you know, the Rockies organization, how they're ran. And I mean, that is part of the narrative. But it's that and also getting the All-Star game during a year where COVID limits the number of people that can go see the All-Star game, potentially. Could we see a closer to packed house, 51,000-ish in July? Gosh, I hope so. I really do. I want that to be the case.
Thing for me about the All-Star game is Cleveland got it in 97, Colorado got it in 98. New ballpark, 3 years old, both times, 94, 95. Team that was, you know, kind of an upstart competitive.
Right.
Indians made the World Series in 95, 97. Rockies made the playoffs in 95. You know, new franchise, want to show off the city and whatnot. Things have changed around here type thing for both cities. Cleveland turned around and got another All-Star game. Well, just 3-4 years ago, somewhere around there. 2 or 3 years ago, maybe. Even 2019, I think it was. For really nothing. And in exchange for being awarded, they had to drop Chief Wahoo and everything, which is fine. The Rockies haven't done anything either. The Indians, at least their franchise is ran, you know, monumentally better, top to bottom. They're cheaper, no doubt, but they're ran. They're more respected in baseball circles with the way they're ran and
cheaper
the people they have.
Cheaper, you mean as far as payroll?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely, for the Indians.
Oh, for the Indians. Okay, yeah. I was confused.
No, the Indians are run much cheaper.
I was looking at something I wasn't, I'll be honest, the Dolan, I wasn't entirely listening to you.
That's fine.
Sorry,
man. That happens. The Dolans are cheaper than the Breidich, or than the Monforts.
Right.
But the organization is run better. They draft and develop better. They're more well-respected. And they got another All-Star game for really nothing. They kind of updated their stadium, too. They took out seats in the upper deck of the right field and turned it into, like, this plaza-type deal. That's where the similarities really kind of end. And the Rockies had not been on deck for another All-Star game. There were no rumors, really, about the Rockies picking up another All-Star game.
They made it clear they wanted one.
Yeah, but Major League Baseball was patting them on the head. They're like, that's sweet, guys. You know, and they're going to all these new ballparks. There's not much new to show off. So it's not like the Rockies were in this position and Atlanta just beat them out for 2021. And that's not how it was. You know, and it's
Atlanta won it because they built a brand new ballpark. Yeah. And also because their team's pretty good.
And I'm cynical in the fact that Rockies were not choice number two. Hey, if we got to pull it from Atlanta for whatever reason, we're going to Colorado. I don't believe that for a second, that Rockies were automatically number two. I think there were some other cities that are like, yeah, not this year. For a variety of reasons. COVID, this, that, the other.
Right.
Let's pass, you know. And some other venues, even the cities and the teams didn't get a chance. The governor will come out and say, yeah, we're not hosting it in any of our ballparks in this state. So, you know, immediately you're falling down to who do we got left? And that's sad and unfortunate. As a Rockies fan, I am a Rockies fan. I know it doesn't always sound like it, right. But I'm also a realist.
Because we care. That's why if we just wore blinders all the time, then that's not being a fan. That's not acknowledging what the reality is about the ball club.
Right. It's depressing the state that they're in. You know, if you want to go out and you want to be smartly run and spend a lot of money and spend it poorly and miss on free agents, I understand that. That's at least trying. Say what do we want about Desmond and the Murphy deals and Wade Davis and Brian Shaw. Hell, at least those off seasons they tried. They haven't tried the last 3 years.
It may not have been the right answer, but at least there was an attempt.
They went and did something
to make the ball club better.
Right. And it all, to me, it does all tie in. And I know some people can separate with the, well, you know, we're not going to talk about this with the or this. To me, it all ties in.
It's all part of the story.
It's all part of the narrative. And with the All-Star game comes a lot of attention on your team, on your city, on your park, and everything like that. I don't think the Rockies need more eyeballs on them right now.
So, okay, here's where the All-Star game has been since 1998, Coors Field. Boston the next year.
Okay.
Atlanta at Turner Field.
Fairly Seattle. New park in 2000.
Yep, fairly, yeah, in 2000. Seattle, new Safeco. Park. New park. Milwaukee Miller Park.
New park.
Fairly new park. U.S. Cellular Field. Chicago.
15 years old, I think.
Yeah, wasn't ancient.
No.
Wasn't brand new. Houston, Minute Maid.
New park.
Detroit, Comerica.
New park.
05.
Yep. Newish park.
Newish. Pittsburgh, PNC Park.
Newish.
AT&T, 2007, Giants. Newish, I believe.
Yeah, 7 or 8 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Within 10 years, I think.
Right. 08, Yankee Stadium. New Yankee Stadium. St. Louis Busch, not new.
Classic, though. It's their turn in the rotation, I think.
Anaheim.
Actually, was that new Busch?
Might have been new Busch. 09, yeah, might have been. I think you're right. I think it might have been. Anaheim, then Arizona, Chase Field, Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, the Mets in Citi Field, new field.
06 for new Busch.
Yep. Minneapolis, Target Field, new field.
New field.
Cincinnati, Great American Ballpark. That's 2015.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that'd been around for about 15 years at that point.
Petco, the Padres.
San Diego.
Yeah. Marlins Park in Miami.
New park.
Nationals Park, first chance to host.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, Progressive Field. No game last year. This year, Wikipedia already has it at Coors Field for 2021. I have not seen anything to confirm that just yet. So
it's not official yet, but it's essentially going there.
So they're really, I mean, you would have thought after like the 07 World Series, right?
Yeah.
Around that period of time, Colorado would have had a crack at getting another All-Star game. Did not happen. Got passed over by a lot of teams with brand new stadiums or newish stadiums. All right, 941. And let's get to this day in sports history. 1896, the first modern Olympic Games begin in Athens, Greece. American athlete James B. Connolly wins the first event. The good old hop, step, and jump event, which not quite carry over into the modern day games.
Doesn't quite have the same ring to it as the triple jump.
No. 1947, Jimmy DeMeritt wins the Masters for the second time in his career. 1958, Arnold Palmer wins the first major of his career, beating Doug Ford by one stroke to win the Masters. 1973, the Pirates hold Roberto Clemente Day and retire his number. 1973, Ron Bloomberg of the Yankees becomes the first player in league history to participate in a game as the designated hitter. You know what he did in his first at-bat?
Go for three, couple punch-outs?
No, just his first at-bat.
Oh.
He walked.
Oh, okay. Designated walker.
Designated walker. 1987, after a three-year layoff from boxing, Sugar Ray Leonard returns to the ring, upsetting Marvelous Marvin Hagler, who we lost recently, and a 12-round split decision to win the middleweight title. 92, Duke becomes the first team in 19 years to repeat as NCAA men's basketball champions, beating Michigan 71-51. 04, UConn women's basketball, they win their third straight national championship, beating Tennessee 70-61. 09, North Carolina wins the NCAA men's basketball title, beating Michigan State 55-34. And in 2015, Duke wins its fifth national title, beating Wisconsin 68-63 in the title game. All right, 9:43, Brad Gamble with the CMU track and field team will join us next on the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado's sports leader.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
It's a great pride in proudly presenting...
It's Mavs Day on the Jim Davis Show.
Welcome back, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy. Thanks for joining us today. On tomorrow's program, hopefully Connor McGahee, I believe we're going to have Chris Dempsey on tomorrow as well, talking some Nuggets. Cody Rourke also giving us the latest on the Broncos quarterback search, what they might do with the draft. So that's all coming up on tomorrow's program. All right, joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, he's the coach of the Colorado Mesa track and field teams. Brad Gamble joins us. Brad, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well, Brad. Doing well. Before we talk about this weekend, we want to give a shout-out to a couple of your athletes, Spencer Purnell and Tony Torres, both of those athletes sweeping the weekly RMAC men's track and field honors. So both those guys coming up with they set school records on Saturday at the Maverick Open over at your new track.
Yeah, it was a pretty special day just to – one, have the athletes do phenomenal, and then two, be actually have a home meet for the first time on campus. So, yeah, very proud of them.
Spencer Purnell comes from Fort Collins. He crushed the school record and took over the RMAC lead, had a provisional qualifying triple jump mark of 15.04 meters, 49 feet, 4.25 inches. And then Torres, who's from Arizona, he had a Division II championship automatic altitude adjusted qualifying time, the 1,500 meters. So, like I said, both those guys receiving those weekly honors for their performances in track and field.
Yeah, and both going to happen to better guys. They train their tail off every week. And as we know, Tony is, you know, he's coming off of taking second at indoor nationals. And so for him to go out and take the national lead in the 1,500 was no surprise. And for Purnell, it was exciting because we've seen it in practice, and we've known he's had that potential to hit a big jump, and it was great for him to do, especially with we had his family there to be able to watch for the first time in 2 years.
Brad Gamble joining us, coach of the CMU track and field teams. Maverick Open was of course last week, or was on March 26th and the 27th. So you had that first chance, Brad, at your complex to host a meet, and now you have the multi open coming up over at the CMU Track and Field Complex this weekend. But what's it been like for you to have that chance to host your first ever event at the brand new complex?
I mean, it's honestly been a dream. And at my last job, I didn't have an outdoor track, and at this job, when I came here, I knew I wouldn't have an outdoor track, and it was one where I was really hoping it would be down the line that it would happen. And so finally having it here has been an exceptional experience. And, very, very amazing and stressful to host meets now.
How impactful is it for recruiting to be able to show a recruit, hey, this is the complex we have now. This is where you get to train, where you get to compete. I would imagine that that's a huge advantage over what you had previously.
Yeah, and now we can just, we're excited to show them around campus. And not that we weren't before, but
right.
It was always that awkward, like, yeah, now, you know, we can't really show you where we train because we don't have an actual place. We'd always be jumping between the high school and the district track. So, no, that part has been, we now just feel like we're back on the map and we're able to, we can show them and brag about everything about CMU.
Brad Gamble, CMU track and field coach, with us today on the Team Sports Network. So take us to this weekend. Who's coming in to compete at your two-day event?
Yeah, right now we'll have Adams State, Western State, UCCS, Colorado Mines, Regis, Fort Lewis, and Pueblo. And so it's kind of that the teams kind of keep adding up as this week progresses, and I won't officially know until Wednesday night when entries are due. But it is going to be... 2 weeks ago, it was just a couple teams, and this weekend is going to be kind of triple that. And so I think the school's nervous on how big it's going to get, and I think I'm equally stressed but very excited to be able to put on a very fun event.
From a fan standpoint, with COVID and everything, how many people are allowed to attend? What does that look like if people want to check out the new facility and watch you guys compete this weekend?
Right. Well, so the good news for us is outdoors, and a track is a very large surface area for us to kind of spread everyone around. And so we will kind of be separating all the teams in different team camps, and then spectators that do come, it's going to be very, like last time we won't have a ton, but it's just kind of we can spread them out in different zones throughout the track.
All right, so make sure you check it out this weekend over at the new Maverick Track and Field Complex, right over there by the baseball field, by Bergman, the softball field, and also the baseball practice field as well. Brad, I appreciate the time, and congratulations on the new complex, and best of luck this weekend.
Hey, thank you so much for your time. Have a good day.
Appreciate it. Brad Gamble, coach of the CMU track and field teams, joining us on the program today. All right, 9:52. And time to wrap it up, a little garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, first off, tomorrow, once again, a reminder, we'll hopefully have all the final details and Bracketpalooza, winners, all that. So we'll have that hopefully finalized tomorrow. And we'll still continue to take your golfers for the Masters contest, the GJ Golf Masters contest. Though, I think it's going to be really tough between now and 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
To find a person?
Because, they're pretty much, most of them are gone already.
Yeah, it sounds that way.
But your chance to win that sweet Callaway Epic Driver from GJ Golf, located over there by Fisher's Liquor Barn. All right, do you have anything to lead off here with?
I do. The opening home opener was yesterday for the Cleveland Indians, and in the press box, they left a little bit of flowers and a space for the late Pedro Gomez.
Oh.
It was a very nice, moving gesture by the Indians.
I thought it was cool for the Indians on opening day. Patrick Kearney,
Patrick Kearney from the Black Keys, filling in for John Adams.
Yeah, who plays the drum in the left field stands.
Yeah, Patrick Kearney was there filling in. John is suspected. He's supposed to be coming back. He's had some health issues recently as he's getting up there in age, but yes, Akron native, huge Tribe fan, Patrick Kearney was the drummer yesterday.
Yeah, John Adams' first game he's missed, I saw, since 1973.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a long time, but that's cool. Patrick Kearney?
Absolutely.
Stepping awesome. In there and doing the drumming thing. All right, now that fans are back, remember last year the Astros got it easy, right? Because there were no fans?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well,
not so much.
The Houston Astros, they got spared last year from the wrath of fans about the sign-stealing scandal. Well, guess what? Those days are over. The Angels faced the Astros on Monday, came back to win 7-6, and someone actually brought a trash can to the right field wall and they threw an inflatable trash can on the field during the Astros and Angels game.
So much for those bag checks, huh?
Yeah, so much, yeah. It was an I didn't realize an inflatable trash can existed.
Oh, I'm sure.
Not surprised. Yeah, I just had never had a need for an inflatable trash can.
So.
Yeah. So much for the bag checks. Because how do you explain why you're bringing that in? Because it couldn't have been.
There's plenty of trash cans around the facility.
You don't need to bring your own trash can. I think security there needs to probably be. They might have to ratchet it up a little bit, perhaps, going forward. But look, this is what we expected, right? This, you were going to hear the boos and...
Right. Which they were going to get it.
This is actually kind of clever.
That was pretty
throwing
funny.
Throwing the inflatable trash
that
can
wouldn't have helped
field.
The Astros because you wouldn't have been able to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. But
it's funny clever nonetheless.
Funny by the fan that did that. All right, that's our show for today. Jim Rome coming up next. Don't forget, we'll have the Rockies and the Diamondbacks tonight. With a pregame at 6 o'clock. Still haven't seen anything official yet about the All-Star game just yet.
But I mean, everybody's running with it. But no official word from Major League Baseball.
So that's our show for today. Thanks again for joining us. And make sure to join us again tomorrow, 7 to 10. Give us a full 3 right here on the Team Sports Network. For the Buckeye Boy, I'm Jim. Have a great day. Jim Rome coming up next on the Team Sports Network.